God bless you. So good to be here with you all. Before I get into the word, I want to say thank you to all the staff, Brother Paul, everyone that made this camp what it is this year. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the room so tidy and everything so beautiful. And I just thank God for each one. The food also. Don't want to leave anybody out. And so I better stop before I get in trouble. But for forgetting somebody. But God bless you all. I do appreciate it. And oh my, how I enjoyed the singing in this service. And that song about great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. I want to turn to a book, the book of Psalms, and in the chapter 46, I believe that is, and Psalm 46, and we know God is faithful. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us until the very end. And there's so many promises, and these are some of the most wonderful promises. But here is a scripture that I would like to keep or give you to keep. And y'all, forgive me if I stutter and stammer a little. I'm used to preaching in Spanish, and then I have to rethink everything in English, and I struggle a little. And so you bear with me. I'm forgetting little by little some of the words here, but God is good. And it says here in Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That word Selah means to pause and to think it over, what we just read. And I don't always say that when I read the scriptures, but it's a musical note. Evidently, this was one of a lot of the Psalms, they would sing it, and they would pause in certain places. But here it says, God is our refuge and strength. We heard God is faithful, but he's also a place that we could run to when we're in trouble. And life isn't always easy. Life is full of all kinds of challenges. And every family, in some way or other, has its challenges that they have to go through. And young people today face a lot of challenges. And one of the greatest things that I can see from my perspective is to know what is truth and to know what is right and wrong. It seems like the enemy is trying to blur what is right and wrong. It seems today like what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. And it's confusing to know what we should think and what we should believe about ourselves, about others, about the country, about our families, about just life in general. And so where do you find truth? Where do you find the answer to what to believe in and what to hold dear to you? It's in the Word. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. People may not know it today, and it's not talked about a whole bunch, but our school system in the early days of the forming of this country, people would have to go to the church house to go to school. You would have to go to a church to, on Sunday they would have their services, but then they would close down, and in the week, days they would turn it into a schoolhouse, the same building, but a lot of people were taught the fear of God. When I was in school, remember, even in kindergarten, there was a sign by the door that had the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that was so important to learn, and it kept us from a lot of trouble, because when there would be little disagreements with the kids and little fights, the teacher would say, do unto others, and she'd point to that golden rule, do unto others. And so the Bible is the source of truth. If it's in the Word of God, you can stand on it, you can believe it, you can trust it. And here the Lord says, God is our refuge, not maybe or perhaps, but He is our refuge. When you have a trial, when you have a burden, when you can't talk to anybody, we heard about sometimes it seems like people don't really understand us, what we're going through. But God understands. The Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows what we need. And we can call on the Lord. We can seek the Lord. And God will be found of us when we seek for Him with our whole heart. With our whole heart. Sometimes we have problems and we just pray a quick prayer. And He didn't answer and we quit praying. Sometimes the Lord wants to see if we really mean it, if we really believe, if we really are going to press through. And there are some prayers you have to pray through. And some things in life, I'm sorry to say, some things don't change because it's human will is involved. And some people don't change. We could pray for people from morning to night and they may not change. And they're still mean and ugly and awful towards us. But we still have to pray and believe that God will keep us in the middle of things. There was this young lady, I knew the family since she was born, and her name Jennifer, and Jennifer was such a sweet, precious little girl, and she grew up into a fine young lady, and lived in Cartersville, Georgia. And this girl, well, now she was a young lady and thinking about wanting to get married and so forth. And she found a young man she thought she would like to live the rest of her life with. And so they were courting. They were both Christians, and they were just spending time together, but in a decent way. The time came when he asked her to marry him, and she was looking forward to this with all her heart, as you could imagine, and she was just so excited. But then right before the wedding, she found out about a week before that he was not what she thought he was. He was a total different person, living a double life. And her heart was stricken. I had to preach in that area where the church was, where her father's a pastor. And we had a good service. We had good time at the altars. And then afterward, everybody went into what they call the fellowship hall. And they were going to have some kind of a meal, for a love feast type of thing after the service. And it was getting a little bit dark outside afterward, and they have their service around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But the way it all went down, and after the meal and all, it was beginning to get dark. And I went outside. I had to go to the car, and Jennifer was sitting on a bench, and she was just crying and crying and crying. And to me, she was like a little niece. I've known that family. I've been at their home and enjoyed the fellowship for many years. And I said, "What's going on, Jennifer?" And I said, "Jennifer, I feel to pray for you." And I went over and prayed for her. And she had poured out her heart and told me everything. And I said, "Let me just pray." And the Lord spoke to that young lady, and it's so amazing when we're in the middle of the darkest night, the most difficult situation we're facing, God knows all about it. And God is right there to see us through. And so the Lord encouraged her heart that this was only to show God's faithfulness to her, that it was his mercy and his love that she found out just in time what he was like. It was because God loved her. And although she had to go through a painful time, a very difficult time, yet God knew what he was doing. And it was just so interesting what God did. And I encouraged her and I said, "Don't be surprised if very soon the Lord puts the right person in your path. And it's going to be, you're going to know in your heart of hearts that this is the right person for you." And sure enough, it wasn't but maybe 6 months later or 8 months later, she met this young preacher. And her parents were preachers. And so she, first thing she did was she said, "Uncle Bill, I want to tell you something." And I said, "Oh, really?" And she said, "Yes, he's inside in the building. I want you to meet him." And I don't know if she was wanting my approval or what it was. I'm only Brother Bill, and she called me Uncle. I know we're close from years, but I didn't think that she would consider me or anything, and she wanted to know my opinion. And you know, they married and they have a wonderful ministry. They are so happy together. They have wonderful children. And all that happened in the past, that's all in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And so all things work together for good. But we can have our refuge in the Lord. We can go to God with our burdens. And there's sometimes things that happen you can't tell anybody about, because people will not understand, or people, some things are shameful. You're ashamed to say some things that happen in your life, but you could tell Jesus about it. You can go to the Lord and he can heal and he can turn things around that maybe no psychiatrist could heal or turn around for you. Or maybe no other person that could give you the right word of counsel. But Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer. And it says in the book of James, I want to read this here, something that is so... that's helped me many times going through situations. And me just find it here. And it seems kind of contradictory, but it says in chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And God allows us to go through tests. The Lord allows us to go through trials and temptations. But out of every test, there can be a testimony. Through every trial, there can be a triumph. And God allows those things in our lives for our growth, so that we can see his hand working on our behalf, how he can get us through. And sometimes he changes the situation. Sometimes the situation doesn't change, but he changes us. And he's working on us in the middle of a lot of situations. And but he's our refuge and strength in the middle of our temptations, in the middle of our trials and tears and disappointments. Oh my, how life, I said before, is full of so many things, so many strange things nowadays that happen. But we can trust God. God doesn't change. People may change, but God does not change. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, that says, when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will lift you up. He will pick you up. And sometimes the disappointments that come from people you least expect it in your life. Could be the people that you depended on or thought would be there for you. And then you find out they're not. Well, then what do? You trust in Jesus. You go to God. He's our refuge and our strength in time of trouble. And it said there in Psalm 46, God is in the midst of her, and God will help her right early. Hallelujah. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. He comes just at the right time, and he intervenes in ways that we would never imagine possible. And I just want to encourage everyone here that we have a God that we can go to, a refuge. It says the name of the Lord is a high tower. It's a strong tower, a mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. We could run into it and be safe. We could be safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of our Savior. He's there to uphold us, to lift us up, but we got to pray. We got to get connected. We got to seek the Lord. Don't be afraid to call out on God. Find a place in your home or some corner, some way, somehow, where you could call on God. I had to do that in my youth. And I had received the Lord as my Savior here in Pilgrim Camp up in Natick. I don't know if it was Nanfam or Nesutan, one of those cabins up there. And the Lord saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And it felt like a bucket of cold water was poured out on me. I was in my lean-to alone. The rest were praying in the meeting house. And I went up there. I was so sleepy. And they gave me permission to go to bed, but I couldn't sleep. I kept hearing them praying in the meeting house. And it was like waves of glory coming up that hill. And I just sat up in my bed and raised my hands. And it felt like a bucket of cold water was poured on me. I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all at once. And it was just marvelous. But no sooner did I get home, I didn't know I could call on the Lord with what was about to happen. I had an abusive brother who would beat me up all the time. And for 2 weeks straight after I came home so happy for what God had done in my life, I don't know what got into him, but he just started beating me up and beating me up, throwing me on the ground and beating me. And until one day I lost it and a bad word came out of my mouth. And he said you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And look what you said. God doesn't love you. You lost it. You betrayed Christ. And I thought that was it. There was no way for me to get right with God. I didn't know I could just say I'm sorry to the Lord and start all over. So I wandered a while until I was in high school. And when I went, when I was in high school, Mom insisted I go with her to a meeting. I didn't want to go, but I knew if I went, I would be changed. And the Lord called at me and called on me. In that meeting, they preached a wonderful message, and they gave an altar call. I felt so dirty. I had failed the Lord. I did not feel worthy to go to that altar. But they kept on. They kept insisting and insisting. If there's a one that wants to give their life to Christ. And I just was weeping in my seat. And I said, I can't go up there. Lord, I failed you. Finally, I was sitting in a metal chair. And I knelt down in front of that metal chair. I said, Lord, if you'll accept me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And it's over 45 years now that I'm serving the Lord from that day. But I wanted the renewal. I wanted to feel what I felt here at Pilgrim Camp. I wanted to have the gift of tongues and just feel that the Holy Ghost was moving in me. So I would pray. And I prayed. And it seemed like nothing would happen. I had wandered away, and now I'm back with the Lord, and I don't feel that same glory. Lord, help me. And Mom would be at work. My brothers, I don't know where they were, but I'd have the house all to myself, and I found a corner there in the living room. And every day I was praying and praying and praying. And then I remembered in camp they taught us to raise our hands and praise the Lord. And I said, I'm just going to praise the Lord. And so I began to praise the Lord and praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came down on me and renewed the Holy Spirit in my life. It was so wonderful. But what I'm getting at is when you're in trouble, when you feel you need God's help, call on Him and don't settle for anything less. You just keep seeking God till you get the answer you need. Keep calling on God. If you know it's something that God has promised you, you go after it. And don't let go. There was a man in the Bible that needed help from God. His name was Jacob. And he was about to go against him. He was this man. Got the wrong person here. Joshua. No, it was Jacob. I was right the first time. But Joshua had an experience too. Well, both of them did. Jacob, he needed a touch from God. He was going to face his brother. And an angel appears to him when he was on his way to see his brother. And Jacob wrestled with that angel. And he wouldn't let him go. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And that's how we have to be. We have to be have that tenacity and that stick-to-itiveness where we just pray something through. And the man said, what is your name? The angel said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, you won't be Jacob anymore. You're going to be Israel because you're a prince with God. And the same thing with Joshua. He was about to come against this big city, Jericho. And he was at a point where he needed help. And lo and behold, the captain of the Lord's host came and said that he was going to be with him in the battle. And so God is with us. The Lord of hosts is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He promises to be with us to the very end. You can count on it. God will never leave you nor forsake you. We may fail the Lord. We may leave him, but he won't leave us. And the Bible says nobody can pluck us out of his hands. And sometimes that's what the enemy tries to do, is to get us away from the ways of the Lord, to tempt us to go astray. But God said he would be there with us. If we would seek him, we will find him. When we have sought with our whole heart, he will reveal himself to us. And so be encouraged to seek God with all your heart. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. I am encouraged.
Hallelujah.